Hello and welcome.
New year, new me.
New year, new me. It's probably the second podcast of the year. But we were talking about how in a past episode we said that we would come back and talk about the Mike Hem reunion and the Star Wars episode. What is it?
Nine.
Episode nine. So if you have not seen that movie, a spoiler alert.
Do I have one? Nope, that's not one. Nope, that's not one. That's nothing.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler. Fast forward 4 minutes now.
We're going to talk Star Wars for 4 minutes?
Just to be safe.
Okay. If you go 4 minutes, just skim back until you hear the spoiler.
So if you do not want to hear about this, fast forward for 4 minutes, you might miss some other things too, but that's okay.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on the movie? And this is all, I'm going to talk to you about the new Star Wars, which I have not seen. So that's why this is going to be good. So
you want to tell me, you want me to tell you what happened?
I'm going to interview you about it.
Okay.
So, how was the opening scene?
Awesome. Yeah. They go to Mustafar, which is where Anakin turned into Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan cut him. He burnt, yeah. And then he later built his castle there.
Mm-hmm.
That's like his zone. And there, Kylo Ren found this a map to where Emperor Palpatine was in the unknown regions. That's where it started. So we get Palps right out of the gate.
Wow, which was surprising.
Yes,
can tell.
And it was I knew he was going to be in it, but I didn't think they were going to do it so early in the movie. No. And he's sitting there all zombie, and then Snoke was a clone.
Yeah,
he was a clone. You remember that guy? He got cut in half, and the one that you didn't like. So he ended up just being a clone, and Palpatine manipulated him. And so Palpatine was manipulating Kylo, and pretty much is the reason he went to the dark side, because he would hear all these voices telling him to like do this fucked up shit, but it was Palpatine doing it. And so he'd be like, he'd always talk to Vader's helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought that, you know, his grandfather was talking to him from, you know, being dead, but it was Emperor Palpatine.
Wow. I also heard that Rey is related to Palpatine.
Yes, she is the granddaughter of Emperor Palpatine. And I think I told Jared that after the first movie.
That was like a surprising fact.
Yeah.
Was that kind of like the Luke, I am your father kind of moment? Not as big of a deal, but...
Yeah. Yes, that would have been that moment.
Overall, how did it look? Was it
visually great? Like awesome.
Okay. Within the three that have come out since it's like come back or whatever, in the past five years or whatever, which has been the best? Or I guess where would you rank this one? One, two, or three?
Two. I'm gonna go Force Awakens.
Which is the first one back?
Yeah, because just the hype and the excitement going into that movie is you can't beat it. Mm-hmm. It was just like
the first one in 10 years. Yeah.
Such a long time. And then it was Star Wars again and it felt great. And then I'm going to go this one because I just can't deny the way I felt when I left the theater, mm-hmm. which was just like happy. And then I'm going to go Last Jedi because I walked out of the theater the first time going, did I like that?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, there you go.
So, overall, you give it 4 out of 5 stars.
What do you want to, know what happened in the end?
Yeah. Yeah, how did it end? Because this is the final chapter.
Yes. Kylo died. He did what...
Kylo is the...
Is Ben.
Okay, yeah.
He did what Anakin couldn't. He saved the person he loved the most from dying.
Which was
who? Brought her back. So... him and Rey end up having a thing,
And they were in love.
Yeah.
Did they do it?
They had a kiss. And okay.
But they didn't have sex.
No. There wouldn't have been time. Okay. They kissed and then he died. Well, because there was a new power that came. Well,
did he go to the good side?
Yeah, because he ended up. Ray stabbed him,
mm-hmm.
and he was dying, and then she saved him. So there's this new. There's a lot of in other stories that the Jedi can force heal. Mm-hmm. So she brought him back, and then he ends up talking to his dad, but it was Leia who has the Force, kind of like putting an image of him out there, and then Leia dies to show Ben like come back,
mm-hmm.
and then he goes and fucks up Palpatine with Rey, and then saves her, and he passes away.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, Leia dies too.
I think
we need to quit talking about it because we've gone over the 4 minutes. Some person just fast forward and then heard blank dies. Sorry, bad at spoilers. But if someone cared that much, they probably would just not listen to this whole episode.
Or you'd fucking seen it already.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry if yes. But yeah. Well, sounds exciting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It does. Okay. Now on to your part of... Do we need to spoiler alert? Wait. Oh, wait. Nope. Or is that how you feel about the show?
No.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler Mike and show.
I did not go to the show.
I know you didn't.
But we just said we'd talk about our thoughts, you know. So
wait, can I talk first?
Yeah.
Because you know, I mean, you care so much about this kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, but I wanted to give some context around like my relationship with that band, cuz it's like I've never really been like a big fan necessarily. I've enjoyed some of their records.
Yes. The idea of them is very exciting to you.
I'm a passive fan. I think they have some good songs, but
yes, they very much do.
I am not like, I don't know every song. I don't, you know, I don't even know if I wouldn't put them in my top 10 favorite bands or something, but
I don't think you would either. Like I've never heard you put them on,
but I like what they've done. I like the spectacle. I like the theatrical. I like the excitement that they do. I think they've done a good job at that in the past. So I was excited them
a band to see how they come out
from the dead. Yeah,
yeah.
What were you gonna say? Sorry. I just needed to. I need people to know that before I. You know, because I don't know all the intricacies of what maybe a hardcore fan would know.
Yeah. Okay. All I'm going to say is the way that they looked is not what I thought they were going to do.
Yeah.
Or I thought that they could have done.
Yeah.
In my head, I thought it would have been badass because, you know, like the resurrection, the coming back, I thought they should have gone all white. Like fucking all white, and like Gerard has like a like Jesus, like it's almost like Jesus with like a hood.
Yeah. I thought that it was cool to playing this show. One show gets announced and it sells out in 10 seconds, and it's called The Return, and artwork looks all cool and epic and whatever. But then I just thought that like. I don't know, I think to come out and just be wearing like regular clothing, and when like in the past they've always
wore bulletproof vests.
Yeah, like they've always gone the extra mile to make the visuals cool, you know, to have like no pyro or like production that's cool, or you know, interludes between songs and. You know, I don't know. Like, there was a marching band that played out front of the venue, I guess, before the show started. But I don't know if it was how it was like unrelated or something. But but that was at like noon. You know, the show's like, I don't know. They could have entered from the back of the crowd and parted the crowd, and it's a marching band playing the Black Parade, and then they're like, he's singing as they're walking, parting the crowd, walking onto the stage, or like the merch could have been a little more like consistent and thought out and whatever. I don't know. Just my thoughts. But
it's cool they're back, though.
Fantastic band. They've done a lot of really cool things. I think they'll continue to do a lot of cool things. Obviously.
Also, it's probably fucking terrifying for them.
Oh, yeah.
To come, like, they probably thought of like 10,000 things and they're like, fuck, let's just
go play.
Just go play. Yeah.
So obviously.
Which I get that too.
Who are we to say anything? They've obviously. Objectively, they're a better band. There are more people like them.
Yes.
More people buy their t-shirts than will ever buy any of ours.
Have you seen that people are like breaking down that because you wore a green thing, that means something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, again, all just opinion.
Maybe it will.
Yeah.
And it'll be one of those things, the green jacket was this. Yeah. In the next record's called Green Jacket.
So, but I am excited to see what happens. They put out a record and how they do that, you know? Yeah. So, that'll be interesting. Cool.
Well, there's Mike M. There's a conversation about Mike M.
But,
everything you want in a main podcast.
Yeah. But if, you know. They want some ideas.
Pat's got a bunch. See, look at okay. So we have a Gandalf toy in the in the studio. Like, if they came out with like staffs.
Anyway,
Gerard the White.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Well, this episode we talk about kind of how the music industry has evolved and changed over the past decade or so since we've been doing this. And the good and the bad. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, here you go.
Here you go.
You know, when almost 10 years ago now, we put out Black and White and we're on a major label, and the like most important thing in the world was how many records we sold in the first week. You know, it was like all everybody was talking about at the record label, all that we are talking about. You know, you're checking every couple hours after the record comes out to see the chart position on iTunes and how many people are buying it at Target or Best Buy or whatever. And then, you know, that really like set a tone of like, well, what bands were going to take you on tour was based on how many albums that you had sold. And really like everything was hinged on just that one week. Mm-hmm. You know, how much attention the record label was going to
pay,
give to you for the rest of the year was kind of all based on that, or if there was a chance to get a song on the radio.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously because of that, you know, the amount of bands that could get popular is not as many, because to like sell that many records and to get your record into to shops and record stores, you know, you kind of had to have a record label to do it, you know. Now that's not the case at all.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I don't think any of those kind of metrics.
But there still are some for people.
Yeah, yeah. There are metrics, but
yeah,
they've changed a lot, you know.
Yeah. Well, at the time, the things that are used now didn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah. No, it's completely wild. It's just like, do people even look at it anymore? Is it even a fucking thing?
Yeah. Just not, it doesn't get taken very seriously, you know, like before, if you had a top 10 album, it was like everybody was talking about you, like you were like,
yeah,
everybody in the music industry would have heard about it. And
well, because All Time Low had one, right?
Yeah,
Nothing Personal was top 10.
Yeah, and it was crazy.
And if I remember, they jumped on Warped Tour that week, and it was like, I remember saying to you walking around like, ah, fuck, like, we're not going to sell any merch this week. Like, I remember thinking that. I was like, they're so big now that, like, they're just going to, like,
yeah,
take everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone got it, I mean, even still, if that happened, it would still be a thing. But yeah, at the time, it was like a shockwave. Like, this is the new fucking thing.
Yeah. You know, and now... You know, I think the big thing that's changed is, you know, it's really gone into these like subcultures where, you know, there isn't only a radio station, or only if you were featured on a front page of iTunes, or only if you were on MTV2 or whatever, like these things that were happening for our bands then, you know. Now the way that people find out about bands is just, there's so many different ways to, and
yeah,
so you kind of get, there's way more bands, you know, way more bands now, yeah, where you know, before, you know, we would book a tour, you know, at the beginning of the decade, and we'd announce it, you know, 2 months before, and now it's like 4 months out, because so many bands are touring and playing all these places. There's so many bands that have gotten to this point that they have an audience.
Yeah.
That more venues are opened up, and it's the competition to even get a show booked at a venue is way harder, because there's mm-hmm. so many bands that can bring that amount of people, that it's totally changed how we have to think about our year, you know. Now we have to be, you know what, right now it's January, and, you know, we have to be thinking about, like, what we're going to be doing in a year and a half from now.
It's so fucking crazy. Yeah, I mean, we had a meeting the other day, and we were talking about almost 2 years out.
Yeah. And, like, to be able to get bands to come on tour with us and stuff, like, because everybody else is thinking about it, so is another band going to take the band that we want or whatever? Mm-hmm. You know, so you gotta be ahead of it.
Yeah.
And it makes it hard. You know, it makes parts of things easier, and it makes other parts of things hard. You know, to plan out for a tour that's supposed to be based on a record coming out that you haven't even begun to write.
Yeah,
is hard, because it just puts the pressure on, like, well, we have to make the record during this time, you know.
Because there's a tour.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, yeah, those are some, like, challenges that you see happening now that maybe didn't happen as much then, you know.
Remember when bands would, like, budge the numbers? Like, oh, they would, they like,
fake,
on tour,
fake them, yeah.
Yeah, they would, like, at shows, they would sell that they sold, like, 300 CDs.
Yeah. And they sold
like
100 or whatever.
Yeah, so that they would, that it would help their weekly sales. And we were always like, why the like the fake number doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess technically it did.
Yeah,
but it was like, for us, I would rather know exactly what we did.
Yeah,
and it'd be like, that's the truth. Yeah, than like say that we did, you know, more than double.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just it. But yeah, it did. It did mean a thing.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, you see, you know, I know, like, you know, this is something you see happening way more often now than you would before. Like, a Day to Remember announced their album and had a tour around it.
Oh, the CD package thing?
No. This most recent tour. So they, you know, because you have to book these things so far out, you know, that the album was supposed to be out on the tour, and they announced it and stuff, and then tour comes up and they announce that they're pushing the album back. So they
oh, shit.
So they do the whole tour that's supposed to be the album tour, and then the album just didn't get done.
Fuck.
Same thing with the 1975 had dates, and you know this album was supposed to come out.
This recent one with the Refused song?
Yeah, the one that's going to come out in like a month from now was supposed to come out. You know, they had been talking about it like it was going to come out 6 months ago and had booked dates and things, you know, and...
That's crazy.
You know, and it's all just because, well, making music is something that you can't really, like, put a time frame on. If it's not right, then it's not right.
Yeah.
But if you have to, like, book all these shows around it, then it just fucks everything up, you know? Yeah, and that totally. All is from... There being so many bands, a competition to get a date, you know, if you're playing in a major city.
And think about, bands are massive.
Oh, yeah.
Those are like some of the biggest bands
that
are touring right now.
Yeah.
Like, and they're thinking about this in this way that, I mean, so it's affecting everyone.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. And,
yeah, I mean, like you said, we're even having talks like that, where it's like talking about the next stuff and something that would tour around there, but we're like, we don't even have a fucking song.
Yeah.
Like, there's no material for this
we haven't even
so-called
began talking about it. Yeah.
Tour record. Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and then also in a lot of ways, it's nice that, you know, we could write a song and record it and put it up within a week.
Yeah.
And everybody could hear it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool, which is kind of like harkening back to how it was when we first began, you know, before being on a record label or anything, you know, we would upload a song to MySpace and there was no really rhyme or reason of when we put it out. It was just cause it was done and we liked it.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of let it do its thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean that's gonna be really exciting. But yeah, it will be interesting to see because everyone keeps talking about like the record's dead.
Yeah,
I mean I don't think that's true. But
no, I think the thing for us is our band is kind of like defined by these chapters. You know, it's like an era, an album. You know, an album is a time period. You know. And I think people enjoy that, like everything in that time period kind of fits together in a certain way, you know, and then there's like the end of that chapter. And then it's like to see what it's going to look like, what it's going to sound like, what the shows are going to feel like, what kind of bands we tour with, like all changes.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the era. So,
but I have noticed like bigger bands, like, I'm even thinking of like Halsey. Like the last year and a half put out like 5 singles.
Mm-hmm.
But are those on going to be on an album?
A lot of them are.
Oh, really?
Not all of them.
But, yeah, because it was like, I was confused about that. And they're all like pretty cool songs. But I was like, so is this going to something? Or is like, yeah.
You know, so that's changed. I think because of the fragmentation of things, because there being so many bands, you know, I think the biggest thing that probably we've done a good job at is really just being happy with that and realizing that, like, all right, let's just control our own little piece of this whole thing, you know. Let's not worry about trying to reach everybody. Let's just make our piece of the music world really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's where things like 8123 Fest and Sad Summer and you know, having the retail store and the meet and greets and like really trying to connect with our own fans comes into play, because it's like, all right, there's so many bands, everybody's trying to reach everybody.
Yeah.
Let's just make something really cool for the people and enjoy what we do, you know. So I think that's what's changed, is people are kind of, you know, artists are forced to hopefully you know, it's for the good. Just be more concerned about the people that support them, you know, because there's not as many people out there to support what you do because everybody has so many options now.
Yeah.
To listen to music and to people. So, you know, creating the cult.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, cool shit lasts forever. Like, when I was in New York, I was just at a bar and a Dinosaur Jr. song came on that I definitely heard, but I was like, who the fuck is this? And then I just pulled my phone out because you can do that now. And it's Dinosaur Jr. And I'm like, this sounded like it came out like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it came out in 84.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool shit just fucking lasts. Like, and so, you know, with that's another thing that we've done super well is just longevity and thinking for a long time instead of being like, okay, well, everyone's doing it like this right now, so do that, and then, oh shit, it changed, go over there. Yeah. Like, and of course you have to maneuver with everything, but staying the course is always stronger.
Yeah. You know, I think the ability to reach people, you know, now and to connect to people it just makes me so happy. Like, you know, what we're able to do on Instagram and going live on Facebook or sending a tweet or a Snapchat or anything, or sending a text message to people or giving them a phone call, you know, all these things, we were doing versions of them. Mm-hmm. Early on, but it was so much harder.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we were basically doing what you do on Instagram on this site called BuzzNet, you know, but I had this separate phone that I would carry around with, and it would take these really shitty pictures, and, you know, to go live on something, like, you have to have a separate camera and a separate, like, you have to do so many things.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, we did a live broadcast when Black and White came out, and it cost like $10,000 to do it. And, you know, what you can do on your phone for free is 10 times better than how that was. So,
yeah,
you know, that's just made things so much better, you know. The connections, the way that we've been able to, like, explain things to people and, like, do an interesting tour, like the free tour or, like, the mirror, and, like, get the message out about how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Is awesome, you know? And then we can take it all in our own hands, you know, to have our own music festival. You know, all these things come because of
the way, yeah,
the internet, you know. Yeah. It's like before, for like, you heard about hear about going to the Warp Tour, it was like they had to spend a lot of money to get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to be on the radio and on TV and all these things,
or listen to that Blink 182 song,
yeah,
somewhere at the Warp Tour,
you know. Where now we were able to launch a festival and get fans from so many countries to come and buy a ticket within a day of it being announced, because we can get the message out and explain it in the way that we want to.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say overall things have gotten better.
Oh, totally.
You know, there are things that you can get romantic about that was cool about going to record shops and looking at the stuff and picking out a record based on the cover art or whatever and things like that, but nine out of 10 things are better now, and I feel happy for bands that are happening beginning right now, you know. So
TikTok,
yes, that's an app.
That's an app.
So. Yeah, it's an exciting time. It's an exciting thing to be a part of, and, like, you know, I think this podcast is a fantastic example, and
yeah,
you know, something that, you know, we weren't sure if people would connect to it. And like, I don't know how many times after a show we talk to people and they say,
I love the podcast.
That they enjoy listening to the podcast.
Yeah. My God. I mean, it's so much easier now. I can't even imagine, like, when Mark Maron started, how difficult that was.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, how do you fucking do this?
Yeah. Just to upload it.
That's what I'm saying.
The most convoluted thing.
Yeah.
Big file sizes and these things.
And now, we can do it on our fucking phone.
Yeah, we'll record this and have it up in 5 minutes.
Yeah. You know? It's awesome.
And people can just, they'll get a notification to pop up on their phone that we posted it.
Yep.
And then they'll hop in their car and it'll Bluetooth into their car and they'll be able to listen to it.
And then we'll say, hello. I mean, everything is like, so much easier.
It's cool.
It is cool.
So
I back it. I back it and then get frustrated and then I go, well, it's pretty cool.
Happy to be alive during this time.
2020.
And excited to, continue to twist these tools into our own thing. You know, I think,
dude, I mean, it's just crazy.
That's,
I mean,
one of the coolest things.
Like, I mean, where we started with this. I mean, when did Spotify start?
I mean, it was like popular in like other parts of the world much, much before, but you know, it really started, I guess, like
2015
or something like that. You know, and like then, here it was.
Well, it's so funny because I remember you, I forgot what happened. It was either when Apple Music announced that they were going to do it or.
Yeah,
that
they announced they bought Beats and they were going to make it.
You
and
called me freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Well, I just remember it was like people, all right, well, no more buying music.
Yeah. Well, you were like.
It was, we were very reliant on that.
I know. Yeah. Well, and I was like, oh, okay, shit. All right. But I remember, you called me. It was like, I just had lunch. And I always remember, like, all right, things are totally fucking changing. Like, everything's about to change. And I was like, all right, what do we do?
And now iTunes doesn't exist.
It doesn't. I mean, they killed it quick.
You can't buy music.
I know. That's wild.
You cannot, even if you want to.
Yeah.
You can't buy it, which is crazy. But
you can stream it.
You can stream it, which is nice. Very convenient. Very nice. Yeah. And being, you know, people complain about the money and things, but like if you're not on a record label and you're an independent band, it's pretty fair. So I don't have any complaints. This is the time we live in. We got to make the best of it, you know. So yeah.
All right. John looks like he's leaving. We should say bye to him.
Alrighty.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.